Would you please turn to Ephesians, the Ephesian letter in chapter 5. Would you please turn there? Ephesians chapter 5. We were on this verse 2 weeks ago. I said to you then it might become a series. I still don't know. It might be a series of two sermons, or there might be more. But today I want to go back to Ephesians 5, 32. Ephesians 5, 32. And the last phrase, the second phrase in that verse says, I speak concerning Christ and the church. That's the topic for today. That's the general topic. God bless me to preach the word of God. I speak concerning Christ and the church. First of all, brethren, I want to review and refresh your mind and your memory on some of the things that 2 weeks ago we talked about relative to Christ and the church. Just a few moments for review and then into some new territory. I told you a couple of weeks ago, I said to you I wanted to define the church of Jesus Christ. And there is one of the definitions is the church militant. The church militant, think of military, think of fighting and war, the church militant. A definition of the church militant, there are several. The Catholics have a definition of it, but we won't use that definition. We have one of our own for Protestants, and that is Christians on earth, born again, Christians, regenerated men and women, boys and girls on earth, who struggle as soldiers of Christ against sin, Satan, militant. It's militant in that, like a military, like a force. We fight against evil. We fight against even the lust of our own flesh. We fight against Satan and our own desires, the militant church. That's all born-again believers on earth at any particular instant, because you and I, brethren, and others become a member, a part of the militant church of Jesus in the earth when we're born again. You are placed in the militant church, the church of Jesus Christ. It's worldwide. We know that because God has a people in every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. There's a thing called the church triumphant, and I understand that to be when you lay your armor down and you go home to be with the Lord and you go to join that great general assembly of saints before the throne in heaven. The triumph is yours at that point. You have victory in Jesus. You go to be with the Lord, and you and the other general assembly assembled people around the throne, you are the church triumphant. You praise God in and through eternity. But until then, from the time you're born again until the time you breathe your last, you are in the church militant with every other born again child of God on this planet. Then there's the church local I mentioned to you, and I gave you a definition of that. A local body of regenerated people publicly professing faith in Jesus Christ, having been regularly baptized, having covenanted to meet together for worship, having given themselves to one another in the Lord, being guided by a regular and proper discipline agreeable to the Holy Scriptures. Born again people who have joined a church body, a local church body, been baptized, who have said, I'm going to support this church with my presence and with my funds that God's given me, who have given themselves to one another in the Lord, who have said, I'm willing for the brethren to say, brother, let us help you in this matter. Brother, let us help you get the speck out of your eye. Let us help you here, giving yourselves to one another, submitting to a proper discipline agreeable to the Holy Scriptures. And that doesn't mean discipline like church discipline. It does mean that. But what the broader meaning is, there's a church discipline. There are articles of faith. There are things that you say you believe. That's the discipline. That's what a disciple of Christ. I'm going to submit myself to Christ and Christ's church. I believe what they believe, and I'm gonna honor that, and I'm gonna agree to it, and I'm gonna live it, and I'm gonna support it. A proper discipline agreeable to the Holy Scriptures. That is to say, I'm gonna join with my brothers and sisters, and we're gonna follow the Scriptures. That's gonna be our discipline. We're gonna follow the Scriptures. That's the local church. I asked you the question 2 weeks ago, the church, whose is it? You and I often say that my church is out there off Sturgeon Creek Road. My church is here. My church is there. We're not claiming to own that church and run it as our own, as some personal property of ours. What we're saying is I belong to that church. That's where I worship. And that's great and it's fine and it's proper. But there is someone who owns this church. And the church, we said, is not the building, but the people. Remember that? We talked about it. It's the people. Who owns it? Who does? And I cited to you 2 weeks ago, Matthew 16, 18. And we read it this morning, didn't we? Upon this rock, I will build. Say it. My church. Those words are in red at Matthew 16, 18. That's Jesus speaking. It's his church. And then I said to you, what has Jesus done for his church? We're almost through reviewing, brethren. Go to this same chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. What has Jesus done? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. That's the first thing the Apostle Paul mentions in this litany of things Christ has done for his bride, the church. He loved the church. Past tense. But also, brethren, he loves the church. God says in the Old Testament, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He loved the church. He loves the church and will love his church forever. Christ loved the church and he loved it with an and loves it with an agape love. We talked about last Sunday. That's a giving love. That's a sacrificial love. He loved the church and gave. He gave himself for it that he might sanctify. Sanctify is set apart. Set apart for a holy purpose. The word church, our English word for church, as my understanding, comes from a Greek word called ekklesia or something like that. And that means called out. Jesus says he sanctified his church. He set it apart and he called it out for a specific purpose, honoring him, worshiping him, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. He's cleansed his church, brethren, with the washing of water by the word. What cleanses you and me, brethren, is the blood of Jesus Christ. It washes us clean. And by the word, it says, by word, Jesus pronounces us clean, fit, whole, holy, because we've been washed in his blood. He did that, verse 27, that he might present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church. He got her, brethren, in the right condition so that he, being holy, could have communion with her, a holy church, a glorious church. She's glorious in her splendor. She's glorious because he makes her glorious, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. We're holy because he's made us holy. In an eternal sense, brethren, the church of Jesus Christ is all those things, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, holy and without blemish. That's your position of you in the church of Jesus Christ relative to a holy God. Positionally, you are that. Now, brethren, practically, are we always that? We're all make up the body of Christ. Brethren, sometimes I get a little wrinkle. Sometimes I get a little spot. So I'm not always that. How do I know that, brethren? Well, the words of Jesus speaking to his own church, the bride of Christ, in the book of the Revelation, early chapter there, he says, say this to the church. John, write this to the church at this place. He says, I have a little, you have a little problem there. I have somewhat against thee. So we get a spot or a wrinkle sometimes. But he writes to us and he says, let me help you with that. Repent, I'll help you with that. So we have the letters of the Apostle Paul to the churches, the letters of Paul inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to help us iron out the wrinkles, to help us wash out the spots. I don't mean eternally, I mean practically, manifestly as we live in this life. We have the letters to the churches to help us. We're studying a letter on Sunday night to a pastor to help him help himself and help him help the church. I think we ended last Sunday night with Paul said to Timothy, if you'll do this, you'll save yourself and you'll save the others in the church, in a practical manner, in a timely manner. You'll help them. You'll save them. You'll help them get the wrinkles out and the spots out. Those letters are to help and to guide and to correct, like all scripture, given by inspiration of God, profitable to us. Jesus said, if you stick with me in my doctrine, brethren, the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Shall not. Okay, new territory today. New thoughts. Jesus said, Peter, I'm going to build my church on your confession, on your doctrinal statement that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm going to build my church on that. And those who believe that, and who will follow me and apply my doctrine and will walk according to a proper discipline agreeable to the Holy Scriptures, if they'll do that, here's the guarantee. Satan will not prevail against you. Nowhere in there does it say Satan won't attack you. Life's going to be rosy from now on. Just join the church, confess me, and all will be well. You'll be rich, wealthy, handsome, good health every day. No. The promise is Satan will not be successful in his attacks. Well, that assumes, doesn't it, that there are going to be attacks. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. So, brethren, make absolutely sure you are in a church that is a church of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, because there are going to be battles to fight. I want to today play the part for you of a war correspondent. I want to give you a report, brethren, of that battle that's going on, a battle that's going on. I want to report to you about it. I was not alive in World War II. I wasn't born until 1950. But I've seen newsreels and I've heard people talk about war correspondents. They would go to the battlefield, to the front, and they would make movies. They would make notes and they'd send them back and say, here's what's happening at the front. The folks at home desperately wanted to hear the news of the war. What's going on in the war? So today, brethren, I'm your battle correspondent. I'm going to file a report with you today. The battle involves the Church of Jesus Christ, a part of the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth, a part of the militant Church of Jesus Christ in the earth, a part of the local Church of Jesus Christ in the earth, known as United Methodist Church. Names don't always mean what they say. And I will say to you that the word united means joined together, doesn't it? It's a good, we call ourselves the United States. Are we united? In many ways, we are not. We're much divided, aren't we? The Methodists are not united in a lot of ways. This is something, brethren, I'm saying not to criticize them, because they will, if you, everyone in here, I venture to say, knows several members of the United Methodist Church. Some of you have family in the Methodist Church. My aunt, my mother's sister is a Methodist. My grandmother was a Methodist. Oh, when I was a boy, I was always at the Primitive Baptist Church, but once in a while, it would work out that Mama would take me to her church, you see. And she loved her church. She was a saint of a woman, my mother's mother. Supported her church, loved Jesus. So we've all associated with some way or another with one or more people who belong to the Methodist Church. It's dividing. So I want to say to you, I don't think I'm talking behind their back, because they'll, I think, agree with a lot of what I'm about to say. They are dividing. They are in the process now of dividing. Over what are they dividing? Why are they dividing? It depends on who you ask. They'll tell you. You'll get a different version. You see, in any struggle, it depends on who you ask, because they've got their agenda, they've got their interest. And that's so with the United Methodist Church. And let me say this too, brethren, in defense of the Methodist Church. I've quoted this to you. I heard years ago a preacher say, "Our enemy is not the church down the road." Too many times we throw stones at the other church. Well, they don't believe like we do, or they're this, or they're that. Brethren, if they believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, which is what Peter said, he believed, and Jesus blessed him for it and said, "You're blessed, Simon Peter, to know that." If they believe that, that'll go a long, long way. They don't have to say to me, "I understand election and predestination and sovereign grace. Oh, Brother Mike, I believe." They don't have to say that. In fact, they can say, I don't get that. That's a hard doctrine. I'm not ready to accept that." That's all right. If they say Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and I'm a sinner and he died for me and I love him, I'll sit down and let's have a meal together, brother. I'll probably even wash his feet if he wanted me to. We got that. And if you've got that, you're okay. And so in the Methodist Church, brethren, I believe that there are many, 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 maybe most of the people in it would confess that. And if they are, brethren, if they do, they're part of the Church of Jesus Christ in the earth. So I'm not downing them. I want you to know that. Okay, listen. Your enemy, by the way, is the one who's walking about in the earth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. That's your adversary, and that's the devil, specifically. 1 Peter 5:8. Over 1,800 churches left the United Methodist Church in 2022. That's the report. Mainly due to, and here's the reason, stated by this writer who wrote in something called the Christian Post. And this writer says the reason is, and again, bear in mind, depends on who you ask, the UMC lost over 1,800 congregations in 2022, mainly due to the denomination's ongoing schism over homosexuality. Now, I said a moment ago that I talked to one of the participants personally. I was at the eye doctor this week, and there was a nice lady in there getting me ready for the doctor, and she was having me look through this and talking with me. And other than God working on it, I don't know how we got to talking about it, but she said that she was a member of the Methodist Church. I don't know what local church she was a member of, but she said last Sunday we voted to depart, and her voice cracked when she said it. I thought she's going to bust out into tears, but she said she made it sound like it's the right thing. We needed to do it. I'm sure it was hard, not easy, but she said we just voted to do it. So it's going on, still going on. It's an ongoing thing. Another source that I've discovered this week, he claims to be a Methodist preacher. He's very convincing. I think he's on the level. His name is Rob Renfroe, R-E-N-F-R-O-E. He's given some background on himself. And he said, "I am a pastor. I've been a Methodist pastor for 40 years. He said, "The church is dividing into two denominations, the Global Methodist Church and the United Methodist Church." He said the church is not dividing over homosexuality, but it is dividing over biblical authority. He said we have a crisis of biblical authority. He said that there are many in the United Methodist Church who say they will not follow the teachings of Scripture. He says the church, the United Methodist Church, is divided in view, that is, how they view the Scriptures, and in practice. Brethren, this is a different type of sermon, isn't it? But it's been on my mind a long time, and I know my time is probably spent, so I'm going to close now and say this to you. Those people in the United Methodist Church, many of them, and maybe most of them, are God's people, and a lot of them are standing for what's right and against ungodliness. Pray for them. Pray for them. You and I, the people, the godly people who follow Scripture in that United Methodist Church, the ones there now, the ones trying to decide whether to leave, the ones that have left and forming the global Methodist Church, they need your prayers. They need God's help. Pray for them. Also, brethren, study God's word and follow it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. Some may leave him, and they'll suffer for it. But those who stick to the, I want to read it. Those who stick to and are guided by a regular and proper discipline agreeable to the Holy Scriptures, Satan will not prevail against you. We learn by history. We learn by what's happening to others. We learn by their troubles, by their mistakes, by their successes. We learn from that. Oh, let us learn, brethren, by that. Oh, God Almighty, help us. Help us, oh God, to know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Oh, God, direct our thoughts and our deeds, our actions, oh, God. Help your believers. Help your people. In the church known as United Methodist Church, help in the new denomination. Help them to make the right decision, the hard choice, but the right choice. Oh God, help them. In Jesus' name, we pray. Help us. Amen.